Well, the drought situation in California has been occurring for some time now, about half a decade actually. Drought first hit around 2011. And so, you know, during the period of 2011, 2014 and since, there's reduced rainfall, reduced snowmelt because they're quite dependent on snowfall and the snowpack in the north for water resources. And this has, you know, increasingly led to pressure on agriculture in particular, but also on cities as well.
That's Joanne Chong. She's a research director from the Institute of Sustainable Futures at UTS. Joanne was also one of the researchers behind the Managing Drought Report, which provides an overview of events and initiatives formed during Australia's millennium drought. The report, Joanne says, might give California some insight into their current drought crisis.
Well, there are some statistics of before the drought. California, on average, I think it was 2005 or something like that, the average water use per person across all of California was more than 400 litres a day. And to give some comparison to that, during Australia's drought, in some of our cities, we managed to get our water use down to less than 200 litres a person a day. But that said, I can't tie all with the same brush. California is very diverse. In some locations, such as San Francisco, they use less than 200 litres a day as well per person. And of course, you know, we're talking about before drought, so it's not acknowledging all the efforts that have gone in place during drought. So there definitely have been improvements in that sense, in terms of Californians rallying to reduce water use in houses. There have been many programs, but the history was that there were voluntary programs introduced to start off with. The governor introduced voluntary targets, and they weren't successful, that voluntary approach. So they stepped up and decided to implement a slightly more mandatory, a little bit more regulated approach to really try and get some of these water savings in households.
4 years into the drought, California is implementing solutions. But before 2011, water conservation wasn't really on the agenda.
It was for the first time ever that the governor actually decreed, if you like, that we need to have mandatory statewide water reduction targets. And I mean, Australia during previous droughts, we've always had some kind of restrictions or water efficiency program, demand management programming. But really, this was the first time in California where they've established these kinds of targets. And we did look on the urban side, and we were looking at water efficiency, but at a bigger picture level, obviously there are many debates at the moment in terms of what supply is appropriate and how to balance between other sorts of users as well.
With water conservation now well on the agenda, what solutions are they looking at?
As I mentioned, they have already focused on things like lawns, because a lot of that water use was on lawns. But it's very much the indoor, at a household level, it's the indoor water use efficiency programs that they're particularly interested in. And where, and again, it varies across California, where there's opportunities to further savings. I mean, it's at a very basic level, but we do use quite a lot of water indoors as well. It's not just outdoor use. It relates to the nature of our fittings, you know, whether it's our toilets, our taps, our showers, and our appliances as well. Australia had many advances during the drought of encouraging people to change over, or when they changed over their appliances, be that washing machines, to increase the water efficiency of those machines. So it's really about transforming the stock, the technologies that we use in our homes that use water. Taps an old-fashioned technology, but it is possible to have more water-efficient fittings inside. So that's a key area. And they're interested in a level of detail. And, you know, we were very privileged, I guess, to work quite closely with all the water utilities across Australia, state governments, local councils as well, on some of the details on how you roll out these programs. What does it involve? You know the end point, which is about trying to encourage people to change both water use behaviour and their fittings. You know, but what are some of the details? Is it about having audits? How do you involve plumbing associations? How do you involve manufacturers of water efficient appliances?
And when working with manufacturers, Joanne says the choice of infrastructure needs to be carefully considered.
When most of us, and myself as well, when you think about, you know, a drought and water, particularly for surface water fed areas like Australia, we think of dams. We think, well, it's about storages. We need to build a big dam. And many people will be familiar with the various issues around dams as well. But, you know, going forward, there are many, many types of innovative infrastructure at different scales as well. So is not just about large-scale infrastructure, it's potentially about quite small-scale infrastructure that can reuse water, whether it be stormwater, grey water, even sewer mining for non-potable uses so far in Australia anyway. And these can be smaller scale, they can potentially be implemented quicker, not always, but can be, and they have certain benefits compared to the large scale ones. If you have a more modular system, you're able to stage potentially, you can avoid against technological lock-in, which is a really important aspect in terms of, you know, how fast technology is progressing these days. So, you know, if you have something really big, you've locked in the technology for the next whatever 20, 30, 50 years, because you have smaller scale modular options that you can either roll out during drought or roll out during drought for the next several years, then it gives you a lot more flexibility, can potentially save you costs, and allows your system to be more flexible in how you go about supplying water to people in a city.
But for the right infrastructure to be put into place, everyone needs to be on board.
During the drought, it was really about all water-using sectors who were involved in reducing their water use. And this was facilitated in many instances by the utilities, by councils, by state and also federal government in some cases. And that is a sense of everyone in it together to save water. And that's a nice thing to say, but also at a program level and an investment level, it really means having programs that target households, having programs that target high water using households as well, and trying to make sure that they're fair so that they're not perceived as, oh, people can buy their way out of these water saving programs. And also don't just target the residential sector, but also work with businesses to try and encourage savings as well, so that households don't necessarily feel that it's just a household obligation. And in the business sector, in many states in Australia, the utilities worked directly with water using businesses to establish water management plans. So unlike a household, it's not about, you know, you can't predict that it'll be a toilet, a shower and tap, that kind of thing, because all water using businesses are different. So it's about the process of working with businesses to identify and audit their water use and really tailor some solutions that are fit for that business depending on how they use water, but also potentially save the business quite some money as well, because water is a cost.
This isn't California's first drought, nor likely their last. And the same applies to Australia, with Joanne saying there's still a way to go to prevent drought in the future.
Although here in Sydney we might not have had drought during the current El Nino, we know many parts of New South Wales, rural New South Wales, rural Queensland, southern states, Western Australia have been experiencing very dry conditions in some areas. And it hasn't perhaps affected some of the capital cities as much as in the previous drought. But given the projections of climate change, unfortunately, you know, it is likely that Australia will experience some kind of drought again. I mean, but drought is not just a state of how much it's raining. It's also drought is about how well prepared you are for it. In terms of if there are declining storages, it's partly because it might be raining less, but also what have you done to prepare for it? You know, whilst we're talking at this moment about potentially sharing some lessons to California, I think what we see emerging at that high level or a global level is an appetite for researchers, for water utilities, for government agencies, for private sector and for communities across the globe in different countries to really form partnerships and networks to help understand what to do in drought and to learn from each other. So for those networks to form and improve water security across the globe, it's really good potential there.